Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting. It is Friday, August 9th, 2024. We are glad you are here, and we are glad to be able to talk about some pro wrestling. As you saw in that opening, Kevin Sullivan passed away today, I don't know if it was today, but some unfortunate news for a lot of us that have been watching wrestling for quite a while. He's somebody that... He was really good at what he did, and this one hit me hard because I always despised this man. Like, his character was always so good, and he was the first person, like, everybody thinks about Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair. I also think about Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair, but I also think about Dusty Rhodes and Kevin Sullivan. They had some battles. I grew up in Florida, so I saw a lot of those battles. So I wanted to talk about that first and give my condolences to his family, his friends, and the other fans out there. I've always talked about this in, like, on Twitter and stuff like that, that I was a big tape trader back in the day, and Kevin Sullivan was on some of my, like, best of compilation tapes with Dusty and just some of the other matches he had. He was good. Like, I really enjoyed him and his, he was just really good. And it's sad. I'm sad that he's gone, but I'm thankful for what he was able to provide for us fans. And a lot of people don't know this, but he did take over some of the booking for WCW, like Nitro and WCW, for a little while. just overall want to say thank you, and again, my condolences to his family, his friends, and the fans out there, like myself, and he will not be forgotten, so, but thank you, and we will start, I know that's a start on a somber note, because we usually don't start that way, but yeah, Scott George says it right. He's one of the most brilliant minds in wrestling, and I just wanted to start with that. I thought it was the right thing to do this week. So
thoughts and prayers to his family.
Yeah, so for sure. And Maggie, as I start the show officially right now, and how are you doing? And while you're answering that, I'm going to change my ear pods to my other headset.
What's happening?
Because I already got a battery warning on them, so.
Oh, okay. It's so one of those kind of things. Gonna take a while. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Everything goes wrong. See, like a couple of things. Okay, like first of all, none of this would have happened. Our wonderful fans in the chat would have been satisfied if I just had StreamYard access and was actually able to start the show. You know, while you were managing everything that you were managing, I would have been able to start the show and entertain the masses and the fans, okay? But because I'm short, Sean doesn't want to give me StreamYard access. That is a shoot. I don't know where that came from. Like, Sean and I met at Wembley. And I was like, you're not as tall as you said you are. Like, you're not that tall. And he's like, so it's fine. It's fine. Like, if Sean wants to play that game, like, he can get constipated, whatever he wants. That's on him. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, actually, it's been a couple of really emotional days for Bulgaria, because we got some medals on the Olympics. We got 2 gold medals in wrestling and at weightlifting. The weightlifting medal is for Carlos Nazar, our national champion, who actually set a new world record. We got bronze in taekwondo, another bronze in weightlifting, and one in boxing. But like, I'm a simple woman, and the one that got me the most is the silver medal in rhythmic gymnastics that we got today. I was almost sure that the gold is in our hands. And then came out the German gymnast, and I was like, you're so good. I always cry when I watch gymnastics, because ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to compete in rhythmic gymnastics. But mom said, no, you're too fat, you can't do that. Like, okay. I actually have a really touching and kind of sad story when it comes to rhythmic gymnastics and my late grandmother. I'm not gonna tell it, because it's like, it's not that it's kind of sad, but like, I, like, it makes me embarrassed, because I was just a fucking spoiled brat. But I will tell you this story one day. So as I stop talking about gymnastics, because this is a wrestling podcast. Oh, sure. Rob left me. I asked him to never leave me again last week, and he did it again. This is so, so wonderful. So let me get my shtick out. And I didn't mean it like that. Alex, if you have access to StreamYard, please hop in. Yeah, this is the Maggie Wrestling Show. Please, if you have StreamYard, hop in. And we'll talk for a bit while Rob is having technical difficulties. So let me get my shtick out. Guys, hi. Thank you for joining us, but like me right now. Thank you for joining us, our wonderful fans of Coexisting. Please leave a like on the video. This is the most important thing that I'm going to ask you. Leave a like on the video. Share it on social media. The second thing I'm going to ask you is please send us your super chats. It's the bottom of the live YouTube chat, the little dollar sign. You can send us Humper Chat also at humperchats.com. It makes us keep a little bit more of the money. Any amount will get your question or statement read live on the air. Please subscribe to Fightful Overbooked. Please subscribe to Fightful Overbooked. Fightful on YouTube. YouTube.com/Fightful. Also, and I'm just losing my voice. It's been like 8 minutes and I'm losing my voice. And last but definitely not least, please subscribe to Fightful Select. It is our bread and butter. A lot of contract news, a lot of scoopsies about pay-per-views and everything. Where have you been? Never. I asked you last week. Never leave me again.
I had no choice. Like everything kind of just
blew up.
I don't know what the hell happened. So. We're back for now. I know that much. We are back for now. We are ready to rock. Okay. It was a walking disaster for about, let's see, it says we've been live for 9 minutes and 25 seconds. So it's been a walking disaster for me for 9 minutes and 25 seconds.
Well, even before, because like you couldn't, like it's been a disaster for 17 minutes. Like yeah. It's yeah, Alex, our friend Alex Cardoza, he said, "Dear Maggie, do you think Starks will be WWE champion?" He said Stakes, but I know that he meant Starks. WWE champion? I don't know. It's up in the air right now for me. I do feel like Ricky Starks will eventually end up in WWE. Has any news come out that he's going there? No, right? Because
no,
like
it's just,
if
it's
he's asking me because so. Yeah, okay. So this is me just spitballing here. Like everyone can go anywhere they want right now, right? Like it's not like we're smarter wrestling fans now, correct? I like wishful thinking. We're a bit smarter. We prefer the wrestlers to have fun, right?
Yeah.
So if they want to go whatever they want, we need to cheer them on, right?
Yes.
So this. Yes. So is he going to be WWE champion? I'll let you know when Carmelo Hayes is WWE champion. How about that? Because.
Yeah.
You can start.
I mean, if he does go, I mean, which is an if, I mean, I think he's going one day. I think, of course, he'll be a champion. I do. I think one day he will be. We do have two super chats, so we will go and answer those. Ryan Sullivan says, "I was young enough to enjoy the Dungeon of Doom when they came out. That was a hell of a stable, considering what was in it. And that was really the first thing that Hulk, first person Hulk Hogan really feuded with in WCW when he got there. Was Kevin Sullivan, really. And the Dungeon of Doom. So that was something.
Even Kevin Sullivan can make me watch a Hulk Hogan match. I'm sorry.
Well, and then we have,
I mean, The Rock did because it's The Rock. But like I am watching Hulk Hogan matches. I'm sorry.
I get it. Alex Cardoza says, "I'm here to put myself over. Ain't I great? Double J."
No.
No.
No. Mm.
I don't know. I don't know why I said double J. Wait, yes, I do.
That's Jeff Jarrett. JEFFJARRET.
Maggie, do you know how many of those I have in the can?
This one I take personal.
Yeah. Oh, Alex, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can continue. You can continue.
Okay. Well. Yeah, I do one thing. I do, going back to Ricky Starks, I do think one day he will be there. But we'll have to wait. Because right now he's at a beach. He put a picture of himself on Twitter.
He is at a beach.
Yeah.
And Sean was trolling him.
Yeah, I saw that. Is that Stanford?
Is that Stanford?
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't know that. Sorry. But
yeah, this was totally not a death threat that I sent you now, just now. Mm. It's totally not. It's not. I promise.
What do you think of SummerSlam?
I actually kind of love SummerSlam. And, you know, not because I thought that it was an amazing pay-per-view with amazing matches that made sense and the booking was fine. No, I didn't like it because of that. I liked it because we have a ton to talk about right now. This is actually making me so excited. Do you want to start, you know, talking about SummerSlam and then, you know, talking about each match, you know, of the big ones that we had on SummerSlam? We can talk a bit about what happened on Raw afterwards, because like there's a bunch of stuff we can talk about.
Sure. Well, let's just start in order for the show. I mean,
yeah, Rhea Ripley versus Liv Morgan. Like I have everything here. I can say I have everything organized.
Yeah, the match, I mean, it was pretty good. The ending's what obviously stood out. We saw that that bastard known as Dominic Mysterio basically say bye-bye to Rhea and said hello to Liv Morgan, which was I would say...
A choice.
Charlie Sheen said winning, you know, that's what he had a quote that he would say winning all the time. And I think it's safe to say that Dominic has been winning. Going to Rhea Ripley to Liv Morgan. I think he's doing okay for himself.
I never thought I would ever say this, but for me personally, Dominic Mysterio has become irreplaceable in WWE. I'm sorry if I'm offending someone. I feel like I'm offending my past self, because I remember around this time last year when I was granny sitting. Boy, that was a fun time. So, because I was watching wrestling in my living room and she would come from time to time because like she knows what wrestling is, but like she enjoyed watching anything else, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, but like from time to time she would sit. And if you remember, he was on Raw, he was on NXT, and he was on SmackDown because he was North American champion for a while on NXT. So he was on all shows. Mm-hmm. And because I'm someone who watches wrestling for a long time, and she doesn't know what she's watching, but like she's watching it anyway. And at some point she asked me, is this the main character? And I'm like, why do you think that there's the main character? Dominic Mysterio of all people. And she was like, well, I see him every day. And I did not comprehend the fact that I was actually seeing him every day until she mentioned it. I mean, I thought that this was just me being fucking annoyed with Dominic Mysterio because I didn't want that guy on my television. But now it's because of the fact that he's in a storyline that is so fascinating to me. It's a bona fide soap opera, okay? I'm a woman. I enjoy the drama if I'm not in it. So it's just, I enjoy this. I personally thought that Finn Balor would have gotten between Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan himself. But after everything that happened, we're going to talk later about Damian Priest, his match against Gunther and everything, you know, the implosion of Judgment Day. It kind of works out in favor of Dominic Mysterio. I still have questions about the hotel key. Because obviously Finn Balor and Liv Morgan could have been, you know, just talking about how they see Judgment Day working for the future, what they can replace, what they can get out of the Judgment Day in order for it to be more successful and everything. But this doesn't explain the hotel room key, because like, what the fuck? Like, what's that? Because this is, the hotel room key is, you know, where all the speculation that Finn Balor and Liv Morgan are going to be a thing. This is where it all started. For me also, because I thought that this was going to be a thing. I thought that Dominic Mysterio would have choose Liv Morgan, and she was going to kick him in the dick hole, probably, and then go after Finn. This didn't happen, and this was kind of good, because I can see it actually becoming a bit overbooked. Subscribe to Fightful Overbooked. The only overbooked I want is on my Fightful, okay? Send a super chat in Humper Chat at humperchats.com and leave a like on the video. I'm going to remind you guys a lot about that. This match was definitely a thing. Do you have much to say about Braun and Sammy?
You know, it was a short match that it went the way we expected it to. I would have been fine if Sammy would have won, but I get obviously why they went with Braun. I'm curious to see where they go with him. I do like the fact that he called out John Cena, because I think John Cena needs to have the Intercontinental title at least once before he calls it. That's my opinion.
He hasn't held it?
Nope, never. He's never held the Intercontinental title.
You're kidding. He's not
Nope.
He hasn't.
Yeah, it's I find it crazy myself. But
yeah,
that's something I would like to see happen. I mean, even if he's not the one to beat Braun Breaker, I would still like to see that happen. But
I would actually like it if John Cena would put over Braun Breaker. I don't want Braun Breaker losing to John Cena.
Yeah, and that's...
like I know what happened to Theory, and what happened is nothing. Absolutely nothing, and. It's
Cena for speed champion. There you go. I actually thought that was good.
Jesus. Louisville, I think that we like a week, 2 or 3 weeks ago missed a super chat from you. If I'm not mistaken, we are ridiculously sorry. But I don't remember what the super chat was, but I'm almost sure that we missed your super chat because it was almost at the end of the show. Like it was three weeks ago. I'm pretty sure that like it was some time ago. If I'm not mistaken, of course I can be, because it's my brain and I like can't remember for crap. Yeah.
If we did, send another one, or not another super chat, but send another question. We'll answer it.
Yes, if you want something to, you know, to ask or say, like we just send me, you don't need to send the super chat because you kind of already did. Thank you for being here, by the way. LA Knight versus, I know Sheamus. I know Sheamus, sweetie. I've been begging for them to put the IC title on Sheamus, because
begging and begging and
begging after begging. Yeah. I felt like all the momentum died when he got beaten by Gunther. Was it two times? I feel like it was two times. Yeah. I felt like the first time when they faced each other, I was like, this is the thing. This is the moment when, because they make this such a big deal that Sheamus has never held the IC championship. And I'm like, this is it. They're gonna give it to him. And they didn't. And then they face off one more time. So I thought that you can't possibly, you know, not give him the championship now, and then they didn't again, and that sucks. Yeah, but Sheamus, he's been on such highs and lows. It's it's ridiculous because like I've been on the Sheamus bandwagon for a while now. Even when people were chanting at him that he looked stupid, I didn't. Like, he was a Celtic warrior. Come on. Go touch grass. You're only jealous that you're not a Celtic warrior. Okay, let's move on. LA Knight versus Logan.
This match, Logan Paul, man, he's good in the ring. Have you ever heard that before?
Who?
He's good in the ring. He's nuts, but he's really
Logan
good.
Paul?
Yeah.
Have you ever I don't even want to say that. I know. Like, no, everyone, I know. I don't like everyone guy, with but... a pair of eyes can see that Logan Paul is good. Okay.
Yes,
this isn't the thing that matters in this situation. I mean, he did the springboard 180 moonsault thing, the Kenny
40,
Omega
20, 69, yeah.
Yeah, 69. Nice. Okay.
Yep.
He's been studying Kenny Omega. Like, people were saying, oh, like, he likes Hangman Adam Page because he does the buckshot lariat, and then he did a totally Kenny Omega move. I miss Kenny Omega so much.
Kenneth, yeah.
I miss him so much. I love you, Kenny. Please.
Kenny, we know you're watching. Hello.
We know you're watching.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Of course, Logan Paul is good in the ring. What I don't appreciate is that when you see one Logan Paul match, you've seen them all. Like, not when it comes to ridiculous moves.
The brass
that,
nuts.
Yeah. Not when it comes to ridiculous moves that a person that hasn't been wrestling all his life should do. I'm not talking about that. Dude is a fucking monster, okay? I'm not even going to touch that one. I have eyes. Like I said, I can see that. Mm-hmm. But, like, his friends getting involved from the audience and the brass knuckles and everything. What's different here is that LA Knight got hit with brass knuckles and then he no-sold the crap out of it and then just got up, blunt force trauma, new champ, and I'm like, oh, like, the audience would accept this only because they've been waiting for them to put a title on LA Knight for a while now. This is the only reason, because like a bunch of stuff happened to LA Knight and then he just got up as if nothing. Oh, this is the feather. Was this brass knuckles? Because I think it was a feather. And then he got up and just hit the blood floor.
Tiffany Stratton Knight there. Okay.
No, it's just a spoiled brat. This isn't my Tiffany Stratton.
I know.
I have a different thing for Tiffany.
the match was good, mm-hmm. though, I thought. So
it was fine. It was fine. Like, Logan, LA Knight got crowned the United States champion. I thought that they were going to do it at WrestleMania, but them doing it at SummerSlam, I don't mind it. It was a pick-me-up for the audience, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Nia versus Bayley was there mm-hmm. for me. Like, it's... I'm not mad that Nia is a champion right now, because Nia has improved so much ever since she came back. And I already said this before on our show. I will always give people their flowers when they deserve them. She's leaps and bounds ahead of whatever she was before she left the company. You know, previously. She's so good. She's improved. And I think that you should celebrate people who improve so much, and they should be rewarded for that. So kudos to Nia. She has a storyline with Tiffany right now with the new briefcase and everything. That's good.
I would completely agree with Silver Apocalypse here. He says, I hated that Bayley's title reign was just not inspiring. Her win at WrestleMania was great. One good title match against Piper and then loses it to Nia. Yeah, I don't get the booking behind her, like, during the whole title reign. It was just strange, and I don't get it. So I'm hoping... I don't know what I hope to see, but... It was very
strange,
and they
messed up. Actually, sweetie, I don't... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying they messed up, I thought, like, with her title reign. Literally all I can say is
I'm going to take it up a notch and say that her match at WrestleMania was not that good. I mean, it was always going to be, like, amazing, but, like, what we expected was something totally different. What was amazing was her Royal Rumble win. That's what the emotional part was, not the WrestleMania win. Like, first of all, we were sure that she was winning. Second of all, like, they could have had a bit more at WrestleMania, and piling on the fact that she never got into a proper feud. The match versus Piper was always going to be great because it was Scotland. And that was, like, kind of the only thing that mattered. The only thing that I remember out of Bayley's title reign was Piper Niven. And that's because of the Clash of the Sandcastle pay-per-view. That's the only reason why this match was a big deal, because of the pay-per-view itself, which is kind of sad. Because, let's think of a couple of, Scottish women on the roster so we can put them in the title. Because where has Piper been ever since? Like, nowhere. Ever. Have in mind that she's with Chelsea Green? And, like, they have to be... What?
I was going to try to say her name, but I'm like, I can't even come close.
Chelsea Green!
Yeah, there you go. Can't even come close to that. So that's
fine. Nope. Like... I can imitate wrestling themes and wrestlers' names at the same time. Oh! I'm so good. It's as if you're listening to the music itself.
All right, Death Rebel, thanks.
Yes, I'm better than Death Rebel, although that is a low bar. That is a low bar.
It's not hard to be better than that.
Yeah, so I accept your criticism about Bayley's title reign, because it was uninspiring. That's what it was. I hope that they can actually do something with Bayley, because they're doing her dirty, man. And the moment Charlotte Flair comes back, like, she's going to butt herself right back into the title picture. And I personally don't mind, because love it or hate it, Charlotte Flair, every time she steps in the ring with any woman, she brings out the best in them. And, like, that's what you want, right? Like, the competition is a good thing. Like, now when we have AEW, WWE is finally great again, because they actually have someone to compete with. If there wasn't AEW, there was gonna be, like, fucking annoying, like, you know, previously they were. So let's talk about Dream Punk.
I enjoyed this match. I liked hearing Seth Rollins talking, like, during the match. I loved his reaction with when CM Punk was throwing Drew, or maybe it was vice versa. One of the two were throwing, I think it was CM Punk throwing Drew into the steel steps, and Seth just kind of threw his hands up, like, go ahead, I don't care, you know, like, he was like, I'm not calling it, you know. I thought that was good. I enjoyed it, and the ending is what kind of got to me. It's like, okay, you're over a bracelet, this changes you. So that was kind of frustrating, but I am hoping they move on from Drew and Punk, but based on what we saw on Monday, I don't think they are. I think they're going to have one last match.
Drew still has the bracelet, so
yeah, I think they're having one last match at Bash in Berlin.
So, this is kind of really annoying. So, this match had a lot to live up to, correct?
Yes.
Because everyone was waiting for this, and it had big shoes to fill. you know, the expectation was really high. Not the in-ring stuff, at least not for me. At least not for me, but like, I was so sure that they were going to tell a proper story within the match. I got nothing like that. So we see Seth tying on his shoes while Punk smashes Drew's head in the stairs. Punk kicking out before Seth even starts to count because he simply doesn't care. Like, he takes away Drew's chair because, like, Drew wanted to hit CM Punk with a chair. And, like, Seth was really loose when it came to rules in this match. So he let them do all sorts of crap to each other, but no, not with the chair. And I'm like, what's the, like, where's the line? where's the line?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, and CM Punk puts Drew McIntyre in an Anaconda vice and sees the bracelet. And he was like, oh no, the bracelet. And then he removes the bracelet. I'm like, what are you fucking doing? What are you doing? You're not, like, you remember CM Punk, right? The wrestler that everyone adored because he looked like a normal human being. He was the voice of the voiceless, and he acted like he wasn't stupid, like the other kayfabe wrestlers were. You know that CM Punk, right?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't there in this match. So, oh no, a bracelet. And then he removes the bracelet from Drew. Stuff starts happening. And, like, Drew McIntyre hits the Claymore. And Seth Rollins sees the bracelet on the floor. So, he's a ref, right? Mm-hmm. And what the refs do during a match is that if anything falls on the ring, they get it and take care of that. Or either they give it to someone on the outside, or, you know, they take it themselves. So, yeah. What most referees do is, what I've seen the most is when wrestlers who wear flesh tunnels, you know, piercing flesh tunnels, and they fall off, the ref just takes the flesh tunnel and then puts it in his pocket. So, Seth could have picked up the bracelet and put it in any of the 15,000 pockets in his fancy pants pants. But what he decided to do, because he did have like 30 million pockets on those pants. And I'm like, what do you have all these pockets for if you're not going to fucking use them? Oh, I'm just going to put this on my hand, not in my, all my pockets. So the moment you see Seth Rollins putting on the bracelet on his arm, and I'm like, okay, this is gonna be a part of the match. I'm a smart fan, and I'm watching Seth. This is gonna be a part of, you know, of the thing, and I already hated that. It was funny. It was so funny. I was laughing my ass off. It was really, really funny, but it was stupid inside the match. So what happened was, CM Punk goes for the GTS, right? Mm-hmm. And he sees Seth Rollins wearing the bracelet. So now we have a problem. Do you know what he could have done? Let me just show you what he could have done. Like, he's caring for him for the GTS, right? He sees him wearing the bracelet.
Yeah.
He's so pissed off at this. Do you know what he could have done?
Shit.
One, two, three. Give me the fucking bracelet back, you bitch. Like, this is legitimately what he could have done, okay? But he chose to be a little bitch and start arguing with Seth over a fucking bracelet. I know it has AJ's name on it. I probably wouldn't give it up too. But it's a fucking bracelet. We're talking about a blood feud, okay? A blood feud, which transpired because of a fucking bracelet. But, like, Drew gives him the low blow. There was a GTS, but Seth was hit, so he couldn't count for the GTS. Then Punk and Seth start arguing. And like, what did Punk say? This isn't about me, but it's never about you. And I'm like, you're so fucking wrong. You're so fucking wrong, bitch. Like, what the hell?
Bitch.
And yeah, so low blow to Punk again. And then a Claymore, and then Drew won. And as the moment Seth counted to three, he fucking left that ring. And I'm like, okay, this is gonna continue being a thing. So later on Raw, Punk goes out to the ring. He says, you know what? I'm smiling. And I'm like, what the fuck are you smiling, bitch? Like, you lost over a fucking bracelet. Yes, the match needed stakes under a bracelet. This is super chat worthy, Louis. Yeah. So this is why we're showing it. So
this one made me laugh because somebody said Seth and Deonna had the same pants. Well,
Deonna Purrazzo said so herself.
Yeah.
She said it on, yeah. That's so good. Uh-huh. That's so on. Good. So Punk said, people hate him because he always comes back. Like, the doctors told him 9 months, but he was back in five. That his road to WrestleMania started this Sunday, and I'm like, well, have some bad news for you. You lost on fucking Sunday. So he won. Of course, he wants Drew, but then Seth Rollins comes out, and Seth Rollins says, "I'm smiling too." Because it's finally time to
put
CM Punk in the ground. Like, he didn't say it like that, but like, that's basically what he said. Drew McIntyre interrupted them, and he was like, "Yeah, I still have your bracelet." And then Punk, you know, like, he wasn't gonna budge, but like, Drew McIntyre started, you know, waving around the bracelet, and Punk was like, "Okay, motherfucker, now you're gonna get it." And I'm like, "Over a fucking bracelet. What the hell happened?"
So, was this the first time? Now, we both know, and I've said it before, my memory sucks. Was this the first time somebody other, like a different wrestler, has said AJ Lee's name? Like, actually said AJ?
I don't know if anyone said that in AEW.
Well, no, I'm talking about even in WWE. Did anybody, like...
That's the thing, I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard like them refer like to like his wife or April or like, I've heard that, but I don't remember, and I cannot recall if anybody actually said AJ. Like, so
I don't think that they're banned from saying her name.
No, like, I know
they can
just
say her name.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I just thought,
I know, think that CM Punk called her April. In AEW, he called her April, but like, he's been calling her AJ ever since he came back to WWE. Just don't put ideas in my head, okay? Just don't do that. Like, you're gonna break my heart.
I know what happened.
You're just breaking my heart when it comes to that. So, for me, the only amazing thing in this entire segment is the fact that Bronson Reed came out and killed Seth with like a billion tsunamis. So it's up to WWE now to actually put their money where their mouth is and actually build Bronson Reed like the star that he is, because the dude beat Okada. I know that they can't say that on commentary, but like, they can kind of say, well, he has had a lot of success in New Japan, because like, they've been saying New Japan a lot on commentary, a lot. They've been saying Pro Wrestling Guerrilla a lot. They've been saying TNA a lot. So like, while we're there, might as well give him his TNA theme. Just send him to the morgue. Like, that was a cool theme that he had. good on Bronson Reed. I cannot wait to see what they do with him, because like we've seen some major improvements when it comes to juggernauts on WWE television. Same with Odyssey Jones when he teamed up with New Day. I love Odyssey Jones on my television, and he picked up both of AOP. Amazing. Great. As a whole, Raw was an amazing show. Amazing Raw after WrestleMania. That's how we're going to call it.
Yeah, I think this SummerSlam post, or the SummerSlam Raw after, was better than WrestleMania after, in my opinion.
And having in mind that the night after WrestleMania was pretty good.
Yeah.
But again, that bar was really low from the year before, so it's not that, you know.
Yeah.
Gunther versus Priest.
You know,
I mean, the ending was the thing that, you know, yeah, that shocked people.
The ending was there. Like, what I really enjoyed about the ending was the fact that they gave us a little bit of hope with Damian. Like, he got that second wind. There was a moment you thought maybe he could overcome this and still get the victory.
Exactly. And I like that.
You would have saw like Finn's face, like, oh my God, I'm a dead man. But
yes,
that I really enjoyed. I thought the match was good, and I'm excited to see. Obviously, we know where they're going with Gunther now against Randy, but I liked where they were going with this. I do enjoy this. So I know they'll have to answer some questions as we go along, but hey, at least they're moving the ball.
They are. I mean, I will never. I like it when they try new stuff and like they test the waters. And this doesn't include Raw on the ground in any capacity. So the Finn thing.
Got to worry about Dynamite underground soon, maybe. Who knows?
Shut the fuck up. I said that last week.
I know.
You're piggybacking out of my misery.
That's why I brought it up. I'm
gonna be fucking miserable. Brian Danielson says, "Oh, I can't wait. Like, if no, I would love a match with Shane O'Mac." And I'm like, "Fucking no, you two, no." Like imagine if the only reason Brian Danielson is crowned AEW champion at Wembley
is to
drop it to Shane O'Mac.
Okay,
I'm just gonna quit. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm done. I quit. Far. Yeah. We cross that bridge when we get it. Yeah. About Finn. So this is good because it was so dramatic. So it was kind of poorly done in the ring because. So Priest goes for the pin, but before going for the pin, he rolls Gunther to the ropes because apparently Gunther didn't roll far enough. that's a little low ring awareness from the ring general there, if I may say so myself. So
yeah.
Priest rolled him to the ropes, and I'm like, okay, so what's happening? I thought that Gunther will put his foot on the rope, but no, what happened was Finn put Gunther's foot on the rope and he turned his back on the ring, and then they showed the camera and he was like
yeah I know it was...
this is again me explaining to you people, in case you don't know, Finn Balor is such a ridiculously awkward person in real life that he thinks this is cool, okay? He thinks that all of this is cool, and he looks so funny. I adore Finn Balor for that. Every time I point this out, I will point out that I love the guy, in spite of all this, because he's a tremendous wrestler, and this beats everything, okay? Like, you can be incredibly bad at acting. If you're that good in the ring, you're that's like, we're all good. So what happened is that we're probably, yeah, what?
I was just gonna say we have two super chats, but we'll wait on those.
Yeah, let me just end with Gunther and Priest. So what we will probably see in the future is Priest and Priest and Rhea Ripley versus Finn Balor and Liv Morgan. I'm pretty confident that this is what they're gonna build towards, probably at Bash at Berlin. I won't mind. It's gonna be hard not to see Rhea Ripley with a championship, first of all. Second of all, I wanna see the change in the music, because like as I've said on the show multiple times, I'm a music guy. So I'm looking forward to hearing what they do. Read the super chats.
Well, before I forget. You know, I was thinking, like, well, how can they do this? Like, how can they do a mixed match where they can get Dom involved? And I figured it out. R-Truth. There you go. It's not going to happen, but just let me have fun.
It's not going to happen.
No, I know it's not going to happen, but I can have fun here. Just Ricardo sends us two super chats. Thank you, sir. He says, hello, you two beautiful people and peeps in the chat. And he also says, for Mags. Here comes the money, 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 money. Thank you. We appreciate that. We do.
Why am I getting so trolled on this show? Like, this is my show. People should be bowing before me.
This is your show.
Coexisting with me. Like, why are people trolling you?
Because, I don't know. Let's not go that way, please. What the hell, Maggie? What have I done to you?
So fair. Everyone's telling you why you're short. Oh, hey. You're too short. I can never. You're too short for StreamYard access.
Hey, I'm not the boss at FIFO, even though I pretend to be. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, this is going to be interesting to see where they go, because Rhea wants to kill two people. She wants to take out Dominic and Liv. Damian wants to take out everybody now, like in the new Judgment Day. So I mean, he wants to take down the human bowling ball. He wants to take down Carlito. Obviously he wants to take down Dominic and Finn. So
of course.
So we'll see. But I liked the ending of Raw, how that went down. I do like, so something that
are
I
we
enjoy...
just gonna skip over Roman Reigns returning?
Well, no, because I thought we were going like into the like Raw, like
yeah, okay, segment. Okay.
So
yeah, okay.
One thing I liked was we know earlier in the night we already talked about the CM Punk went after Drew, right, and he didn't catch him. When yeah. I saw Rhea going after Liv, I was like, you can't do that twice in one night where Rhea does not. And they let her catch Liv, and I was like, thank you. That was smart, because you can't do that twice. So I thought it was good that they got her. And then they saved it for the ending where they saved Liv. I thought that was good. I enjoyed it. They beat the hell out of each other, and it was good. The whole thing was good. I enjoyed it. It felt just quick and action packed, you know. We got another super chat from Louisville. He says, for Rob, ain't he great? Thank you.
He is great. He's wonderful and patient.
Thank you. So, you know, it's we'll see. You know, I'm it's
oh, you just got a compliment and you're just blushing.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't happen often. That's why I'm like, thank you.
You sweetheart.
Yeah, thank you.
That's so awesome. You legitimately red.
Yeah, you're red. Much. So, thank you. I appreciate that.
Come on. Thank you, Louis, for making Rob blush. You're the sweetest. Thank you so much. Thank you for the support, guys. We can brush it off and talk about Roman now.
Yeah, no, that's all. I just want to say I really like where they Jesus. I just really like where they're going with Judgment Day now.
Yes, yes. Which is something, again, I never thought I'd say because I wasn't a Judgment Day fan whatsoever. Even when Edge started the damn thing, it made no sense. The only thing I liked about the Judgment Day was when Rhea Ripley actually took out Beth Phoenix with a concerto and she said to Edge, "You taught us so well." And then she gave her the concerto. That is the only thing I adored about the Judgment Day because this was so badass and this was so perfectly done. I adore that moment. And then everything went to nothing.
Wouldn't it be fun just like kayfabe wise if Edge said something on Twitter like "told you, see fuckers," like something like that? Because of like
he should have
yeah. Well, yeah, that's what happened, fuckers, like something like that.
Totally should have.
Yeah, damn,
missed opportunity.
Yep. Yeah. Damn.
And then Roman Reigns returned.
Yeah, that Roman guy returned. Did you see WWE post a video of the different reactions from the different cameras? They had like, I don't know how many cameras, but they showed like all the different shots and the crowd reactions. Fantastic. I'll send it to you later. It was really cool how they did that.
I mean, the first thing you notice about the, the awesomeness that is WWE right now is the huge change in production, correct?
Yes.
Kevin Dunn would never, he would never
do that.
Any of this. Any of this. Yeah, like he probably would have shown the reactions of wrestlers in the ring. But it's Roman. So probably not. Like, he's probably jerking off when he sees Roman anyway. But I'm not even sorry.
I was not expecting that. But
So Roman Reigns returns, beats the crap out of Solo Sikoa. That was a monstrous Superman punch and then spear. Because up until that point, the match between Cody Rhodes and Solo Sikoa was kind of a snooze fest. It was a Bloodline rules match. And do you know what annoys the crap out of me, Rob?
What's that?
Given fancy names to just no DQ matches.
Yeah.
Tell me the difference between a no DQ match, a hardcore match, a TLC match. Like, give me the difference. Like, the only match that differs between those is the Last Man Standing match, because like there you have to. I said what I said, yeah. and you get your money's worth when you watch the show. Okay.
Yeah, you do.
That is the reason why we will never get promoted to the main channel.
Well, there's plenty of reasons why that won't happen.
That's one of them. Yeah. So any the pinfall anywhere matches, that's a different thing. But like all these other things, TLC match, no DQ match, Bloodlines rules match, anything goes match, those are all the same. Why are we calling it a different thing? Well, I hate that.
I get your point there, but they do it for the gimmick reason. You know, that's obviously why they do it. They could call it that, but they just do it because of the gimmick. It just makes more sense.
Sucks.
Like TLC match, table, ladders, chairs, because they know they're gonna have a focus on those. Hardcore match, you know, you're gonna see different items than you normally would see in a hardcore match. You might see them go under the ring and grab.
So you're saying that they're basically telling you what the people in the ring will use in the specific match?
Like, kinda, yeah, in a way, yeah, that's the way I look at it.
This is kind of insulting for the public.
I mean, I guess if you want to look at it that way, I don't look at it that way. I think it's just.
No, I'm just, you know, raising this out of, you know, I know what the thing is. I know it's about the gimmick, and I know it's the fun of the match itself. I understand that, but it's just, doesn't make any sense, you know? Like,
no, I know.
If you get out of the wrestling bubble, it makes zero sense. That's why I'm asking. I understand this completely. So my thing is that we saw a Bloodline Rules match at WrestleMania, and now we get one too. And like, we just realized what a Bloodline Rules match is at WrestleMania because we didn't know what this meant before that. Obviously, it just meant a no disqualification match, just FYI. And then we got another Bloodline Rules match like months after. So this is my complaint here, and that's it. I never expected a huge main event worthy match here. The only reason why this was the main event was because of Roman Reigns' return. And oh boy, what a return it was. Like, people were out their seats. They were jumping. They were yelling. Oh! And everything. I will never stop saying this because Supi made a masterpiece. I don't know. Like, it's, for me, it's one of the best videos he ever made. And dogs at the end.
Yeah.
Were so great.
Shout out to Demon Diva to be there for that. That's really cool.
Yes, absolutely. Shout out to Demon. Issa was probably out her fucking mind when this happens. I'm just so ridiculously happy for people. And Roman Reigns is going to be live on SmackDown tonight, right?
Yep, he will be there.
Yes. I'm so excited about this. So, so very excited about that.
You think we see a returning Paul Heyman tonight?
When did they smash him into a table, into oblivion?
Oh, Jesus. Does it seem like a month and a half ago, or a month ago, maybe?
I feel like it's 2 months ago. But I don't know. I think it's a bit early for that.
Just Ricardo says, but Maggie, didn't you love the Nigerian Dream match? Drums match. I was like,
the Nigerian drum match. Oh boy, was it's no such thing, Rob.
That's
Nigerian
why I was like,
drum match.
Well, yeah, I know, that's why I was like, dream match. I don't know.
No, that was such a stupid match. It had no place on a WrestleMania card. No place. And was this? My memory sucks. Was it the first WrestleMania back with attendance, or was it during the Thunderdome era? I cannot remember because I'm trying my best to just erase this from my mind. If people know, if our fans in the chat can was this the first WrestleMania back with fans? Because this is important.
It was 2021.
Yeah, so it was the first WrestleMania.
It was
back.
The first WrestleMania, yep.
Oh my God, this is a slap in the face for all wrestling fans and musicians, by the way. Yeah, no, I hated that match. I'm sorry for people who enjoyed the match. You're probably certifiable. So, we can move on before I insult people some more.
So we go, yeah, I mean, so what was your reaction to Roman?
I loved Roman Reigns returning. the fact that the audience, I feel like Solo Sikoa did his part in making everyone hate him so much that they actually cheered for Roman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he did great.
Because, yeah, he did great. The sad thing is that when I thought that Roman Reigns would return, I thought that they would have had the Bloodline 2.0 built to this new height While in reality, the only people for me that matter in that Bloodline 2.0 are Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa. Because Guerrillas of Destiny haven't been quite hitting it. I know that Tongaloa was never the guy in the ring. I know. Can someone tell me why he's wearing an eye patch?
Yeah, he did get poked in the eye or something like not too
okay.
long ago. Or scratched.
Not too
something,
long ago.
Something happened. So
was this why he missed a low blow and he hit?
No. No. It was something happened in the corner, like in one of the matches he was in. So
okay. Cause I thought I missed that.
No.
And everything
did happen.
Yeah, so I was excited to see Tama Tonga in WWE because I know that they've been trying to get the guy in WWE for a while now. But sadly, the only thing I can remember from his...
I don't think that's true.
Every time I see Boris in the chat, I pop for that profile picture. I'm sorry, it's so good. shout out to you, Boris. You're just a sweetheart.
And it could tried be a to gimmick rip his thing, eye out. But I think they actually, I don't know.
My question. Is this a gimmick thing or is he legitimately injured?
Maybe they just put
eye?
That on there. That way they can cover him. Like, oh, I couldn't see. That's why they did it. They're like, shit with this. Let's just.
Yeah. So as I was saying, about Tama Tonga, the only thing that pops into my head when I think of Tama Tonga was that ridiculous sound that they made him do. Like, what was that? That was so weird. And I demand an explanation.
You made that sound too, and Supi got that one, so maybe we can merge those together and with your scenes. Singing the Bloodline theme.
That was the lay one. I can't believe I get paid to do this.
No shit. Maybe Sean will realize that when they do an audit and realize, like, what the hell is this? I'm like, oh yeah, we have that show on Fridays. Well, yeah, we got to stop that.
Stop that.
My God.
I do want to address one thing from NXT. And that is, I did not see Wesley's heel turn coming.
Nope.
I don't know. I did not see this coming. I don't know what this means for them as a group, you know, as the Rascals. The Rascals can continue being a thing at TNA. But will Wesley go to TNA to cost the Rascals some matches and stuff? You got to wonder. But I totally did not see this coming. I thought that Axiom will turn on Nathan. I was expecting it because that's what they're building towards. And do you remember back in the day when all of us were expecting Alexa Bliss to turn on Nikki Cross and then she never did?
Yeah.
This can actually be the case here too.
Yeah. We're expecting that with A-Town Down Under too, you know, like
it still can happen. I'm
I'm just saying it just feels like like are they missing the boat? Because I figured I honestly thought that was what was going to happen the other night on Raw.
Me too.
But it went the other direction. It seems like
R-Truth and Miz are.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, now this is. Now they're like, okay, it's time to move the Miz back to being a heel because we're done with SummerSlam. That's the way I look at it.
And exactly. There's no need for the Miz to be a face. Yep. He's not tagging. He's not champion. It's not Cleveland. So
and that's why Damian Priest comes out for the save when Miz is beating R-Truth's ass. And there you go. That's how he gets back in the good graces of judgment. The original Judgment Day.
Good old Damian Priest.
I just figured it out. My God, I'm a genius.
If this happens, you're gonna have to take a victory lap. Because that's reaching.
Yeah, it's a big ass reach. It's almost Caden level reach.
Yeah.
Almost like Caden level.
No, I mean, I don't think you've ever said something that will make me do your Caden face.
No.
So
no. Give it time. No. It'll happen.
Give it time. Yeah, correct. Yeah,
I usually
we can move on if you
I
want.
Usually can say something or do something where a woman just gets where I get the look. Of
Don't look death. At me as a woman. Look at me as a person.
Well, I'm just saying in general of that particular sex, I know that eventually that look will happen. It's a matter of time, is what I'm saying. There. I fixed it.
Let's move on.
Okay. Where do we go from here? Because we don't do... You know what? There was a comment up here, and I can't remember who wrote it, but it reminded me that I had some jokes, and I'm going to go find this comment.
Yeah, sure. Like, who gives a crap about a Cooper effect?
Well, you know, we'll laugh, and then we'll do the Cooper effect. We'll maybe make you laugh. How about that? Let's see here.
We're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'll play the Jeopardy music as I do this. Ding. Oh, hell with it. I can't find it, but...
What did Corey say? A dog getting his paw trapped in a bear trap?
Was it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's not it. Somebody made a Lord of the Rings comment, and I have some jokes here. All right, I gotta get it where I can see your face, because that's part of the fun. All right, are you ready, Maggie?
No.
Okay. What does Lord of the Rings and Brokeback Mountain have in common?
You've told this one before. I don't know why.
Oh, I
don't remember.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Someone's ring.
Yeah, but like, what was it?
Someone's ring got
destroyed. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Damn it. I didn't know I told that one. Okay. Why did Bilbo have a boner at his funeral?
Did he?
Because old hobbits die hard. I guess I like that one a lot more than you did. Okay. Let's see. What do you call a rat that is grateful? Gratitude.
You've said this one too.
I did not ever say that one.
It's one of the first jokes that you said.
Oh my god. I see, my memory sucks. That just shows it. If I told two of those jokes, see? Oh well.
Like, I remember useless information, but not your jokes, they're not essential information for my well-being. But I have about 12 pills I need to drink a day now, because it's 2024 and it sucks. And I'm like, did I take this pill or didn't I take this pill? Which is really important, okay? This is important information that I should be having in my brain. And not, you've said this joke before, Rob.
Mm.
Yeah. 3 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to help out there for you. Maybe
you're filling up space in my brain, Robert.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Let's talk about a little AEW.
The other night. Cooper Effect. What?
Oh, shit. Sorry, Cooper Effect. Well, I almost skipped it again this week. Hell. It's my first day. I haven't had one of those in a while.
In 4 years, yeah.
Yeah. We've only been doing this show almost 3 years, so there we go. There we go. Where is it at? There you go. You know, before we get started, somebody that listens to the podcast version of this they're going to be like,
we hate you.
Yeah. They're going to think this show is like, what the hell happened? And I'll be honest with you. This show today has been fun for us, but I get it.
Not for our listeners. It's
not for somebody that doesn't watch the actual YouTube version.
Yeah.
So, Maggie, we have the Cooper Effect. However, I probably should have told you this before. I can't bring up the photo for some reason.
That's fine.
Okay, so there you go.
Am I going to do... Are we doing only mine? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead and do yours.
I'm going to have to tell you about... This is a Cooper Effect that was sent to me by Chris Mueller, our friend, wonderful friend Chris Mueller, which we absolutely adore, and we're sending all our love to Chris and his mom. And so what Chris does is, because he's a close friend, and this is something that Supi has done also, because they know about the Cooper Fact on our show. So when they see a wonderful, wholesome story, they send it to me or you, and they say, that's a Cooper Fact. So Chris sent me this because Chris sends me a lot of cat videos because they're adorable. So he sent me this, that a bunch of students in university or colleges, they went on a saving mission from what I thought looked like a house that was struck by a flood or from a storm. Like it was some sort of natural disaster because it didn't have any information in the video. So they went in to rescue a mama dog because she was just abandoned. Like the people that lived in the house just ran for their lives and they just abandoned the dog. I'm not going to shit on those people because, like, if you're fighting for your life, that's, like, I'm not going to judge if, like, something like that happens because we never know what we ourselves are going to do if we are in this situation. So they abandoned the mama dog, but, like, she actually just gave birth to little puppies. And this is heartbreaking because the little puppies were just barely breathing and then rescued the mother and then put them inside of a extremely warm truck because a bunch of the saviors said that they thought that they themselves got hypothermia from the cold water. So imagine what the dogs were dealing with being there for whatever time they were being, because it wasn't specified in the video how much time they had. They were adorable looking puppies, and the mom was so great. They were able to nurture them back to 100% health, and they were on their way to an adoption shelter. So kudos to those people. I'm sorry that we couldn't show you the video because it was so heartbreaking, but amazing people exist, and this is what the Cooper Fact is all about. Also, animals are better than people. This is a must say after every Cooper Fact.
Yeah. Yes, that's for sure. And it's always animals with us, you know. The animals always go towards the top with us. Because, yeah, it's really all we can say. So, yeah, and again, shout out to Chris right now for his mom, and we wish nothing but the best for her as she recovers.
Yes.
So let's talk some AEW, Maggie.
Must we?
Well, we'll talk about the first.
Here's the thing. You want us to talk about a potential Jeff Jarrett match against Hangman at Wembley. And I want my money back.
Okay, I'll send it back.
Like, I deserve an Okada match against Hangman. I know that we don't have time for that. The thing that they've built most is Jeff Jarrett versus Hangman. I fucking hate that. Yeah. I really do. That's a bathroom break match. Okay.
You know what they need to do? This is what they do right here, Maggie. They do it WrestleMania 10 style. They do it WrestleMania 10 style. They let Hangman wrestle twice. He wrestles Double J one match and he wrestles Okada the other. There you go. I fixed
it. No, I don't want that.
I know. It's not going to happen.
You didn't fix it. You made it worse. No, I don't want that.
Okay. And plus, that wouldn't happen because they got All Out the next week. So.
Yeah, if they have Hangman versus Okada at All Out, I kind of guess that the rest of the world is like deserves some good things too. Because people are starting to talk about Bryan Danielson actually losing you know, because like that's what Bryan Danielson wants to do. He wants to lose. And what all of us are pitching, all of us, is a reverse Montreal screw job where the referee just counts to three and he's like, there you go, that's you, you win. And Bryan Danielson loses his mind. He was like, I only want to put other people over. He likes to say that he wants to kick their head in. He's a big talker, but he always gets pinned, the fucker. Like, don't act like your family is more important than our fans, okay? Uh-huh. I feel like we're more important than that. Also, Birdie can be a wrestling fan.
Damn it, Birdie.
Maybe she wants to see her daddy wrestle. I'm obviously kidding. Put your family first always. But I'm really not kidding. So, yeah. You're like people clearly want to see Jeff Jarrett versus Hangman, and this is puzzling to me because I was watching the Spotlight yesterday and a conversation about Jeff Jarrett began, and I just, because like the Spotlight is on at a very good time for me and I always watch it live, and I'm in the chat and Scott was in the chat and he was like, Maggie's really quiet right now. Because I just, you know, begins doing, you know, apartment stuff, housework and everything, because they were talking about Jeff Jarrett and Ricardo was, and Scott was like, Maggie's too quiet when it comes to Jeff Jarrett. And I'm like, yes, I need to stay face here. That is the thing. I don't know. I understand. Like, the people that have been watching Jeff Jarrett for a while now, I know, like, you have an emotional connection to the guy. And the fact that he's actually really good in the ring for, I don't want to say for that age, but it's kind of true. He's still good. He's still amazing. But why am I seeing this? I'm sorry. Have him go back to the Indies and beat Effie again. Like,
yeah, get a revenge for Sean. There you go.
Yeah, get the revenge for Sean, and then get Sean versus Jeff Jarrett. Like, then and only then am I gonna cheer for Jeff Jarrett. That's the only reason I'm gonna cheer for Jeff Jarrett. Okay. Sean's gonna get constipated.
Well, you know the internet.
Because diarrhea and constipation hit tall people more than short people. He can also get hemorrhoids, but like that's a totally different conversation.
Good God, Maggie. All right.
What stood out for you in Dynamite? Apart from Kyle Fletcher, because
That's
about hopefully it. This is the future for AEW for a while now.
Yeah, I mean, the opening match was good. It was solid. The blocking the door had Don Callis' family written.
Who did it?
Don Callis' family. Don
Callis. He himself or somebody other than him?
Yeah, somebody did it. Who's around? We know
that Roosh.
Oh, okay, Roosh. There you go.
Because I don't mind seeing Roosh. Osprey versus Roosh. I don't mind that.
That'd be fun. I've seen that. So no, I didn't. Who did I see? I saw Ray Phoenix. That's right. Ray Phoenix versus Will Osprey. That was fun. But then I saw Will Osprey and no, it was MJF and Roosh that started going at it. That's what.
Yeah. They did. You mentioned Ray Phoenix. Do you want to talk about the Lucha Brothers?
Yeah. It's been going around that the Lucha Brothers contracts are both coming up. Penta's is coming up before Ray Phoenix. It sounds like they might be heading to the WWE, the way it sounds. They both recently trademarked a bunch of different names. That was pretty interesting. So, isn't it just kind of crazy how the tag team, what AEW was known for was their tag team wrestling, and all of a sudden, it's non-existent almost. It's very, I'm not saying it's the same, but it's very similar to what it was in WWE not too long ago. I'm talking like Vince, where we were begging to see stuff, you know? I mean, there were times we didn't even see the tag team titles defended on pay-per-views. So it's very interesting. Plus, I mean, there's a chance that they go after the Motor City Machine Guns. So if you add two big tag teams to this, holy crap, that's really all I can say is if that happens. Wow.
This is absolutely true that the AEW tag team division was way better before, and it's kind of lost its way now. Having in mind that the WWE tag team division right now isn't that good too. I didn't like the Bloodline winning the tag team championships from DIY just for the sake of it, because it just happened for the sake of it, because it's the Bloodline. That is the only reason. DIY, they broke our hearts, because we were so happy when DIY won those championships, and it was such a big thing. They made it into a big thing. They had a 29-day reign.
Yeah. The only thing that can save me with this, sorry, I didn't mean to, go ahead. I didn't mean to.
No, just, it's just heartbreaking.
The only thing that can save me with this is if they have a match tonight, a number one contenders match tonight, I think with, who was it? I think it's Pretty Deadly. If they lose tonight.
Such an underrated tag team, by the way.
Yeah. If they lose, I'm kind of hoping that we might see them. I like them together. I do. But I think Triple H kind of wants them to. I think he wants them to feud pretty soon. I would think he wants to go back to that NXT feud, Gargano and Ciampa. I know we've seen it, but people have not seen it on the main roster. I just have a feeling. I know it's repeated.
Listen to me carefully. The people on the main roster haven't been given a single fuck of a reason to care about Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
Correct.
They haven't built them into a character. They could have done this with those tag team championships, but they didn't. 29 days or whatever that number was. They're doing a shtick on social media with Randy Orton and the RKO, and that's funny. That's ridiculously entertaining, but that's just DIY being DIY. The main roster has no idea who they are. And when I say the main roster, I mean the people watching the main roster shows. The WWE universe outside of NXT.
Yes.
They have no idea who they are. They know who they are, but who they are they here? Like, they know Johnny Gargano is Johnny Wrestling. Why is he Johnny Wrestling? Show us Johnny Gargano wrestle. Like, have him against Chad Gable. That's going to be a wonderful match. Have my dream, one of my dream matches when NXT was going head-to-head with Dynamite was Tommaso Ciampa and Cody Rhodes. Those two are going to be fire together. But people haven't been given a reason to care about Tommaso Ciampa at all.
Yeah.
It's just infuriating to me, Rob. And this, I thought that we were going to have justice for DIY now that they had the championships, but we're really not. And that's kind of a major bummer for me.
Yeah, no, I
thought
understand.
That we were going in a different direction. And this is why, okay, Lucha Brothers coming in, this is the correct time for the Lucha Brothers to come in. Because when AEW started and the Lucha Brothers got a home there, and I was like, look, and what amazing Lucha tag team this is. Because by that time, if they were on the main roster in WWE, they were going to be the ones running around with fucking pinatas. This is exactly what could have happened. But now, having in mind that it's a totally different roster right now, it's not going to be that. And I don't want to see either Motor City Machine Guns or Lucha Brothers on NXT. They have no place there. Send them directly to the main roster and show them what they can do.
Yeah,
because at this point, if you're not familiar with Lucha Brothers and Motor City Machine Guns, have in mind that Motor City Machine Guns are legends when it comes to wrestling. Like, they have people under their wings. Yep. So it's like, it's an interesting thing to see, but the tag team division in AEW is lacking hard. And this is actually the reason why the trios division in AEW is kind of getting back out there. Because what I'm so anxious to see is that a match was made for this week's Collision. This is so good. So the Bang Bang Gang are gonna take on House of Black and for the number one contenders against the Patriarchy at Wembley. What the wonderful thing is that Christian is gonna be the special guest referee, because Seth was just a special guest referee. Why don't we have that now here too? But this is gonna be really, really entertaining because it's Christian Cage. I can't wait for this. I do think that we're about to have a three-way for the trios titles at Wembley, and I do not mind as long as they, you know, correct their mistake from last year and just give those titles to House of Black, please. For the love of fucking God, give House of Black everything. I'm not even kidding. Please. Okay, they can pin whoever they want from the Bang Bang Scissor Fuck thing. Like, go ahead, just do that. Like, Patriarchy can, or they can pin Luchasaurus. And this is how everything starts ending for Luchasaurus and the Patriarchy. There are like a buttload of ways that they can go from here. But like, the trios division is actually better than the tag team division right now in AEW, which is something that I never thought I was going to say. Because why are the Young Bucks champions? It's part of a gimmick right now in the story. And I have another question for you, Rob. I know that we're supposed to end soon, but I have a question for you. Why did the Acclaim go after FTR? What the fuck did I miss? What happened there?
This has been strange from the get-go with them.
Someone explain this to me.
FTR feels like they, from what I understand, FTR feels like they should get their title shot. Should get a title shot back, and the Acclaimed have been feuding with the Young Bucks, and they feel like they should get a title shot. And
they feel like they should get a title shot because they won an eliminator match. Like, yeah, they have.
That's right. I mean, they do have that right, but
they have their right. But then before
FTR
that happened,
butt in. I don't know.
FTR
don't know.
Called out the Young Bucks at Wembley way before this happened. And then they won the Acclaimed won a number one contenders match or a eliminator match or whatever you want to call it. And I'm like, I don't care about any of this, because if I get another FTR versus Young Bucks match at fucking Wembley, because we just saw it last year, I'm not saying that it's been too many, because like, at this point,
wouldn't you rather have that than the Young Bucks versus the Acclaim, though?
No, I don't want any of this. Well,
you know, you're gonna get the Young Bucks, so I'm saying hypothetically, you're gonna.
Am I gonna get the Young Bucks? Am I really
likely?
Because like, we haven't even seen them on television, like those championships,
yes.
Those championships aren't on my television, and I want my championships on my television.
Yeah. Maggie, plug your shit.
guys, you can, you can follow me on Twixter or X or Twitter, whatever the fuck you want to call it, at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Thank you.
All right, Maggie. I actually have one more joke that I saved because I wanted this one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have kids in the car or wherever you're listening, please.
In the car!
Wherever you might be listening to this, I'm giving
you. Assume that people listen to us in their car?
They could be. I don't know. Wherever you are listening,
please don't listen to our show while you're driving.
Yes. Or if you have kids around, I'm going to give you a 15 second warning so you can just turn this off. Before I do, I'm going to go ahead and just plug my stuff and then I'm going to go into the joke. Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram at Fightful Rob and on Threads at Fightful Rob. So here we go. Also, catch us again right here next Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern on Fightful Overbooked.
I will be returning from the woods, probably, maybe, if I wasn't murdered, wrapped in plastic and there everything.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen. All right. Maggie, are you ready?
Sure.
Two sperm are swimming around inside this woman. One says, "Are we at the egg yet?" The other replies, "Nah, mate. We've only just passed the tonsils."
You're so proud of yourself for this.
I am. I love that one. That's a great one. Guys, Jesus. We appreciate you so much for tuning in and listening to our bullshit.
I'm sorry, guys.
Because we love you. Good God. Thank you again. We will see you
join us next week, guys.
If we're still here. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.